Clear the deck here. Keep something at hand for Scott just in case. Good. I'm going to give you a sentence here in a moment, and I'd like you to fill in the blank. And I'd like you to remember the first word that comes to your mind. Okay? Are you ready? Here we go. A good Christian is blank. A good Christian is blank. Okay? Raise your hand. Here we go. What'd you get?
Good.
Good? A good Christian is good. All right? Faithful? Faithful? How many of you thought faithful? Ah, interesting. Good. What else? Who would not think of faithful or good? Yeah. Pleasing to God. You've been listening to Pastor. Good. Foster?
Is righteous.
Okay. Forgiving? Yes. Way in the back. Spirit-filled. Okay. Jenny?
Trustworthy?
Yes.
Glorifies God.
Yes.
Fruitful.
Honest. Are you telling the truth? That's really what you thought of? Okay. Yes. What's that?
Long-suffering.
That's a very spiritual answer there, Cecil. Good. Good. Yes, sir.
Obedient.
Okay, anything else? We cover them all?
Rare.
Is what?
Rare?
Joe, is that really the first thing you thought of? I like mine medium well, to be honest with you. There you go. Well, for a moment, I want you to think about your life. Now, think of all the words you just heard. Those were good. You did a good job. Do those words describe your Christian life? Now, we're going to give you a lot more words to think about as we go along, but the Spirit of God, when you got saved, came to indwell you and wants to fill you, as Teresa mentioned, Spirit-filled, and He wants to make you a good Christian. You say, how do you know that? Because He wants to make you like Christ, a Christian. And so we started this series quite a while ago, and it just has continued on. And someday, if the Lord doesn't come back first, we'll end this series. But we're thinking about the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And when you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit. He moved in. And He moved in really with the purpose of making you like God, so that you would properly, as Steve said, glorify God, give a proper reflection of God. And it's interesting, and we're going to see this as we go along, but all the things you mentioned, pretty much except rare, thanks Joe for messing up the whole lesson, most of all of those things are things we're going to talk about this morning, and we're going to add some more. So, how does the Spirit of God make you like Himself? Okay, a little bit of review. We're giving you some main points here. And we started this, I think, 2 weeks ago. We talked about this. Before you can be like God, you've got to know what? What God is like. And so we called that word, thank you. I heard it. Who said that? Very good. Thank you. Donna, a visit. 1 week and she's got it. I like that. Good. By the way, the better you do, the more you move up. Okay, so she's going to give all wrong answers from now on. All right, good. Revelation. We talked about four different ways God has revealed Himself to mankind. Let's see if we can do these. Number one, through creation. Very good. Number two, through inspiration. Number three, the incarnation. And number four, illumination. Very good. Thank you. This is why it pays to take notes, because when we review, you can sound like you remembered everything. Good. All right, so creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Of course, inspiration is how we got the Word of God. Illumination, the incarnation, that's Jesus Christ, the picture of God. If you've seen Jesus Christ, you've seen the Father. So we talked about revelation. Number two, last week we talked about salvation. Salvation. See, you can know all about God and not be like Him. In fact, you can know all about God and it's impossible to be like Him until you are regenerated, till you receive the Holy Spirit of God, till you receive that divine seed, till you receive a new man. Okay? Jesus said in John 3 to a very religious man, ye must be what? Born again. Born again. And until you're born again, you're not going to be like Christ. Can't be. It's not possible. So salvation. And then last week we started talking about the third one, sanctification. So now you're saved. You've received the Spirit of God. And now you need to go through this process of sanctification, being holy, putting off sin. And we talked last week in Ephesians 4:17, and you're putting off the old man and you're putting on what? The new man. You're putting off lying and you're telling the truth. You are putting off anger and instead you're being forgiving. By the way, I didn't spend much time on that, but he said, be angry and sin not. That's interesting, isn't it? And then he said, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And he said, don't give place to the devil. So what is he saying? Anger is a sudden thing, isn't it? It happens. Somebody cuts you off. I've got to be honest. We were driving coming back from Charlotte in the rain, and I needed to get the exit, and this guy next to me wouldn't move. I said, come on, get out of the way. I got to get over. Turns out he was getting off too. And I'm sure those in the vehicle thought, he's not very spiritual. But, you know, the key to all that is you deal with it quickly, don't you? And you get over it. You don't go to bed mad. Well, that's a great, by the way, this is not marital counseling 101, but what a great rule. Never go to bed angry at your spouse. Have you ever done that? And you lay down and you turn your back and what's wrong? Nothing. Big liar. That's me. I'm not, when I get upset, I don't usually argue or anything. I just get real quiet. And if I'm real quiet, my wife says, something's wrong. Well, I'll say, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. Come on, what's wrong, Gary? Come on, honey, what's wrong? I'm glad nobody else is like that. All right, so you put it off, okay? You quit stealing and instead you work. Thank you, very good, you work. You quit destructive speech and you become constructive. You put off bitterness, wrath, anger, malice, clamor, evil speaking, all of that. And instead you have kindness, tenderness, forgiving, and so forth. It was interesting. Yesterday I was talking to a guy who was saved as a child but has been far from the Lord. He's come back to the Lord. And it was very interesting. He said, you know, since I've gotten right with the Lord, everything has changed. He said, all of my decisions are different. He said, before, you know, everything I did was to please me. He said, now it's to please God. And he said, everything is just, they're so different. And let me give you, this is what he told me. He said, every time I smoke a cigarette, now if you smoke, I'm not picking on you, but this, no, I didn't talk to this guy about this, okay? He said, every time I smoke a cigarette, I feel bad about it. He said, I know I'm putting something in my body I shouldn't. And he said, in fact, I'm quitting today. What's going on in there? It's the Spirit of God working in his heart to change. I love that. I love it when a new believer or somebody's just right with God. And he was talking, he said, you know, his wife was there with him. He said, we don't fight as much like we used to. Now, she just got saved. And I thought, that's exactly the way it ought to be. It's wonderful. When you are changed by the Spirit of God. Now, do we need sanctification? Wouldn't it be nice if when you got saved, you know, when you get saved, you are robed in the righteousness of Christ. He takes the punishment for our sin. And he robes us in our good. In fact, I love that statement, if I can remember it. God treated Christ as if he had lived my life so he could treat me as if I had lived his. Isn't that great? Wow. God treated Christ on the cross like he'd lived my life so he could treat me like I lived his. When I got saved, I was robed in the righteousness of Christ. In God's eyes, I'm holy. I'm perfect. He sees me through the blood of Christ. How about practically? Well, now that's another story. You may be righteous positionally, but practically it's another story. And of course, Romans chapter 7 is a great illustration of that truth. And I'm not going to turn to it. It's so familiar to most of you. But what does Paul say in that passage? And I believe he was a believer, by the way. There are some people who think Paul was talking about before salvation. I don't think so. You don't have that conflict before salvation. You don't have this the love of the law of truth before salvation. This is a saved man. And he said, boy, the things I want to do, the things I don't want to do. How many of you ever experienced that? I will wait. Come on. Get your hands up. Bunch of liars. All right, good. Sure. And everyone, I've experienced it this morning. And you'll experience it every day of your life as a believer. The constant struggle between your spirit, your old man, and the new man, and the Spirit of God constantly going on. This is why, listen to this verse. Now, it's often misunderstood, but Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, some people think that means you are saved by works. How do you know that's not true? For by grace are you saved. So other scriptures very clearly teach you're not saved by what you do. So what does it mean? Work out your salvation. It's real easy. When you got saved, God's changed you from the inside out. And your changed heart should affect your life. And that's what sanctification is. You're working out your salvation. I can't see your heart, your spiritual heart. I can't see if you've been born again, but you should be working it out. So we see what's on the inside. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right? So here we are in this process. And it's done, again, by the Spirit of God. Romans 15, 16 says that we are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Listen to 1 Peter 1, 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, listen, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. And then, of course, we talked about Philippians 2, 13 already, but it is God which worketh in you both to will. He gives you the willing and the doing of his good pleasure. That's sanctification. That's what should be going on in your life. Let me ask you a question. This week, was there a time, or many times, when the Spirit of God said, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't do that. Boy, that's an area in your life you need to work on. That should be going on all the time. All the time. It's called sanctification. God working your life to make you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've looked at this several times, but I want you to turn again to 2 Corinthians 3:18, because this is really the crux of what we're talking about. Now, I know we talked about this early in our study of the Holy Spirit, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but I want you to see it. Got it? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Here it is again. This is sanctification. If you want a verse on sanctification done by the Spirit of God, here it is. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, which is the... What is the glass? The Word of God, the mirror, okay? But we all, with open face, beholding the glass, the glory of the Lord, all right? God reveals himself through his word. And we're changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What does that mean? Again, it's the Spirit of God takes the Word of God to make you like the Son of God. Same thing. You read the Word of God, you hear the Word of God being preached or taught, and God begins to change you, and he begins to make you to be like himself. Now, the rest of the lesson, I want you to see exactly. Because we say, the Spirit of God is going to change me from glory to glory. What in the world does that mean? Let's be specific, okay? I mean, I could say to you, Nick, have you got more glory this week, brother? And he said, well, I don't know what he's talking about. Glory, I mean, I don't know. So what are we really talking about here? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And what is in Galatians chapter 5? A passage about what? The fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to get very specific here about what God is trying to do in your life. Now, this could be a test. As we look at these words, your question should be, is this in my life? Am I a good Christian? A good Christian, Teresa said, is Spirit-filled. Now, here's what the Spirit produces. If you are Spirit-filled, this is what you will be like. Okay? So here we go. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, number one, what? Love. What is that? Well, it's the first time you saw your husband or wife-to-be, and you felt that warm, fuzzy feeling. Right? Nah, not really. How would you define love?
Agape.
Agape. What does that mean? It is agape, by the way, in the text.
Selfless.
What's that?
Selfless.
Sacrifice. Love is sacrificing what I want to meet somebody else's need. That's love. Men, when you say, dear, I love you, you're not necessarily saying, I like how you look. Well, that's kind of nice. We had our pictures taken at the banquet, and we got them. Thank you, Melina, for that. We got them. I got them. They're on my phone. And my wife showed it to me. I said, that's a nice picture. She said, well, of you it is. And I thought, well, no, you're beautiful. That's a wonderful picture. That's great. I mean, it's good when you like the way your wife or husband looks. It's hard if you don't. I mean, you know, it is. It's tough. But love is a whole lot more than that, isn't it? I mean, it's easy for me to say, dear, you look wonderful. You look beautiful. That's great. I should say it a whole lot more than I do. Now, it's a whole other matter when I'm watching a ball game, which really shouldn't be a big deal because I record everything. All you have to do is sit, pause, or mute, and then I can listen and watch in this ear and watch with this. No. But when the way we show our mates we love them is, or anyone, is when we will sacrifice what we want to meet their need. That's what love is. Now, he said, look, if you are a Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled person, you will have love. Okay? All right, let's go on. We can't spend all day in every one of them. But not only love, but joy. Joy, happiness. That does not depend on what's going on around you. It's interesting, in the Word of God, this word is translated joy every time, except for twice, and it is translated gladness. Let me just be honest with you. Believer, let me ask you a question. If I were to ask your husband or wife or someone that knows you well, do they have joy? What would they say? Now, I'm not saying you're slap happy going around all the time. Oh, that's great. That's just crazy. You know, that's not joy. I mean, the ability when things aren't going well to just to have the joy of the Lord and it's okay, or are you always down in the mouth? Well, I don't guess anybody cares. You know, life is hard and it's just... hey, Christian, if you're filled with the Spirit, he said, you'll have joy. Does that describe your life? Joy? Okay, let's go on. Not only that, but he says, love, joy, peace. You know what most Christians are like? Oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. And I've got to go over here and do this, and I don't know, I've got to take care of this, and I'm so worried, and I'm in conflict, and all my life is a wreck. That's not a Spirit-filled Christian. Love, joy, peace. Now, peace doesn't mean there's nothing bad going on, but it means you have a settled confidence in God that no matter what is going on, you have peace. Love, joy, peace. Oh, here's somebody mentioned this. Cecil did. Did you say long-suffering? I thought you did. Long-suffering. Give me some synonyms for long-suffering. Oh, did you have to say patience? Patience. Enduring. I'll just be honest with you. If I'm patient, it's not natural. How many like to stand in line? I mean, that's just your favorite thing to do. You just go places. You don't really want to go there, but you know there'll be a line. And so you go to stand in line, right? We got done eating a Cracker Barrel. Our seniors were come back from Charlotte, and we went to check out, and there's this huge line. And we were all so joyful about it. Isn't this great? This line. Yeah, right. Oh, my, long-suffering, able to endure, put up with a lot, suffer for a long time. That's got to be from God if you've got it. Unless you're just one of these laid-back people. Oh, I don't care. You know, whatever happens, happens, man. That ain't me, all right? And it's probably not you either. All right, long-suffering. How about this one, gentleness? And really, that word means goodness, which is our next word, and we'll describe that in a minute. But that's kindness. That's now, I'm not talking about, you know, that's sweet. I'm not talking about this, you know, saccharine, you know, I hope you're not like that, okay, unless you're a lady. But look, it's being kind. Are you a kind person? Tell you how you can tell if you're kind. How do you treat those who are lower than you in the social system? That's a good test. Kindness. Would you be described as a kind person? Gentleness. And then he does say goodness. And really, this is the idea of doing good for others. Does it give you joy in your heart to do something nice for other people? Or are you always sitting back saying, I wish they'd do something nice for me? What's wrong with people? How come they're not good to me? Here I am, you know? Or are you a good person and doing goodness? And then there's faith, and this is really the word faithfulness, the idea of faithfulness, which most of you thought of as a good Christian is faithful. Person who keeps their word. They do what they say. And then meekness. Let me give you one synonym for meekness. Humble. A Spirit-filled Christian is a humble Christian. If you say, I'm Spirit-filled, and all you do is talk about how great you are, we've got a problem. A meek person doesn't insist on their own rights. They're humble. And then finally, temperance. What's temperance? Self-control. Not controlled by your own desires and lusts and flesh or habits or vices, but you have self-control. Now, it's interesting. If you had all those things in your life, okay, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If you had all those things in your life, who would you look like? Let's look at that. All right. Number one, and we'll move quickly. Love. 1 John 4:8 says what? God is love. You look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, it says in John 13:1, he had loved his own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. And when I think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm reading in the Gospels right now, my Bible reading, and over again, boy, don't you think the word love describes Jesus Christ? What did he do? He gave and he gave and he sacrificed himself. What an example of love, Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, he took your sins and he took my sins. And his Father turned his back on him. Why did he do that? He looked down through time and he said, oh, that's Scott Collier. He's going to be a great guy. I'm going to do this. No, it's the exact opposite. He looked down through time and he saw me and he said, oh, boy. But I'm going to die for him because I love him. What an example. Jesus Christ, the man, of course, who loved. And then secondly, we think about joy. And that's kind of odd. Do you ever think about Jesus as being full of joy? And yet, the Word of God says in Luke 10:21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in his spirit. In John 15:11, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And it's interesting, in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised and the shame, is set down at the right hand of God. Jesus, in his life, was full of joy. Do you ever think Jesus ever got discouraged and downtrodden and said, oh man, these disciples, what a bunch of losers. Why did I pick those 12? We're not going to make it. It's all over. Now, obviously, he knows all things. But he had joy. What about peace? Was there ever a man surrounded by more turmoil than the Lord Jesus Christ? It's been interesting as I've been reading. Everywhere he went, what did people do? They wanted something, didn't they? Give me, give me, give me. Heal me. Heal my kid. Heal this person. Heal this. I need money. I need help. You know, everywhere he goes, give me, give me, give me, give me. He tried to go off by himself somewhere, and they find out where he was. And here comes this huge crowd. And feed us, feed us, feed us. You know, everywhere he went. And yet, peace. He had peace in all that turmoil. Wow, long suffering. Think about the religious rulers. At every turn, they're trying to trap him. They're trying to make him fall. They're vicious. They're wicked. I mean, how would you feel if somebody said to you, you're doing the works of the devil? Roger, you're controlled by the devil. Just want you to know that. How do you feel about that? You better not look at your wife, son. Now you're in big trouble. Oh, my. I hope you have a nice couch, buddy, because you're going to be there now. And yet, he continually endured the mockery, the terrible things that everyone said about him and did to him. Boy, what an example of long-suffering, of patience and endurance. And then gentleness. And these are a little hard for us to understand, but in Isaiah 42:3, he said, a bruised reed shall he not break. A brittle reed, something that if you just touch it, it's going to break. And the smoking flax shall he not quench. Talking about that part of the wick that has been burned. And it's, you know, so fragile. If you just touch it, it's going to break off. Said, God is, the Lord is going to be gentle. Now, he was stern with the religious rulers. But boy, every other time, I was reading this morning, or maybe yesterday, about the Gentile that came to him, Gentile lady, and said, Lord, my daughter needs to be healed. And he said, oh, I'm only come to the sheep, or I'm only come to Israel, and you're not a Jew. And she said, oh, but Lord, you know, I may be a dog, but if a dog would just get the crumbs. And Jesus said, oh, great is your faith. Do you feel the tenderness of the Lord? And do you see him when the disciples, the children are coming and they're running the kids off? And what did he say? Ah, suffer the little children to come unto me. And can you see the Lord sitting there with his little babies, his little infants on his knee and holding them? Wow. And what about goodness? Well, that's easy because God is good. Faithfulness to keep their word. Christ always kept his word. He was faithful. And oh my, talk about meekness. Humility. Power under control. When he was being, when they took him to trial, think of the meekness and the self-control. They said all the terrible things about him. What did he say? How many of us can keep our mouth shut when people are talking about us? How many of us can keep our mouth shut when no one's talking about us? We're all kind of the same boat, aren't we? And yet, what meekness and self-control. And I love the song. Just think about when he was on the cross, what he could have done. I love the song. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and to set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Wow. What meekness. And obviously self-control. He was tempted in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. What self-control. I love what the hymn writer said. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee. It's almost like this guy read Galatians 5. Full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, and kind. Helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee. Lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave. Meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. And then that chorus, oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep. So, a real Christian, a true Christian is loving, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Could we take the word good Christian out and put your name there? Gary has love and joy and peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, see, faithful, meekness, self-control. You see, when we talk about the glory unto glory, this is what we're talking about, folks. Is there anything more practical? This is what the Spirit of God wants to be doing in your life and is trying to do. He's trying to change you and make you like Galatians 5:22. Put the fruit of the Spirit in your life. That's what should be happening. So that when people look at your life, they say, wow. She looks like Christ. He acts like Christ. Pretty high standard, isn't it? That's what God wants to do in your life. This is called sanctification. Is it going on? If you are truly spirit controlled, you will have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Boy, may God convict our hearts. I hope your phone's ringing today. And I hope you'll answer. God is speaking to you about a specific area of life. of your life. Let the Spirit of God change you and make you like Christ. Okay? Lord, we thank you for the practicality of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray as believers that we would allow you to control our lives and to change us and to make you like the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, as I read that list, man, I fall short in so many ways. And God, my heart's cry is, oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.